Good morning, everyone. As Julia mentioned, I'm Shawnee Taylor. I work at ICF as a marketing communications manager, and I'm actually presenting today on behalf of a colleague who couldn't make it. So if I do a good job, please feel free to tell her. If I don't mention it. I'll be talking about the women.smokefree.gov website, particularly focusing on the redesign of the website and some of the promotional efforts that we had following the redesign. At this time, I have no financial relationships to disclose. So I think it comes to no surprise to us that smoking continues to be one of the leading cause of death and disability in the United States and worldwide, and especially as we consider the growing human and economic cost on society, it's important for us to come up with solutions and interventions that are both far-reaching and cost-effective to be able to combat the growing costs and problems that are associated with smoking. And so in 2003, the Department of Health and Human Services, through the National Cancer Institute, had led the charge in creating a web-based smoking cessation intervention, which was different in the sense that it was focused on cessation as opposed to prevention. And that was smokefree.gov. Smokefree.gov has expanded significantly today, as you can see, a number of the websites and resources that fall under the smoke-free umbrella with the National Cancer Institute. And as we've seen the success of smokefree.gov, it became more and more apparent to us that we need to be moving into different populations and reaching new niche audiences who have unique, unique issues and face unique concerns as it relates to both smoking and quitting smoking. And so the presentation that I'm giving today is going to focus on Smoke for Women, which launched in 2009 and really focused on recognizing that women, while they smoked at a lower rate compared to men, they do have very unique difficulties in quitting smoking, and some research actually suggests that they have a much more difficult time quitting smoking. That has to do with things like the way they metabolize nicotine, the different social cues that cause them to smoke and make it a little bit more difficult for them to quit, as well as the stressor. So really thinking about the holistic approach for women and recognizing that that made it difficult for them to quit smoking. And so we created a platform, women.smokefree.gov, in 2009. I also want to mention that that was our first foray into social media, which for this population proved to be incredibly important. So here's a snapshot of the newly designed women.smokefree.gov website. It's too bad that I don't have an example of the old website, which is leaps and bounds different from this one. But three of the key objectives that we went into creating or updating the women.smokefree.gov website was to, one, make it much more accessible to women. We recognize that women are heavy users of mobile and wanted to be able to access the resource on the go. It fits very much into the lifestyle of women, so we made the website responsive. I think many people are familiar with the idea of responsive design today, but now you can access the website and have no difficulty looking at it on a mobile device, so a smartphone, a tablet, or your traditional desktop. In addition, we changed the organization of the website. We wanted it to make it look more like a magazine, so more like the platforms that women were typically accessing online. And we wanted to unearth a lot of the content so that people could access it. They could know very well, readily what the website features. At the previous website, you had to do a lot of digging, and you lose a lot of visitors when you have to, when there's a barrier to accessing the information. And then finally, we wanted to add a new content area and expand on an existing content area. So two new features of this website is the Healthier Lifestyle section, which includes information around nutrition, sleep, stress management. Again, really thinking about the holistic approach to smoking cessation as it relates to a woman's life, and then expanding on the weight management section because our previous content really had some limitations as it related to women, which I'll get into towards the end of the presentation. Here you can see, really, when we think of what Smoke-Free Women offers, it's at its core, it's a cessation website, so it has all of the cessation information that you need in order to reach your target audience. Step-by-step quick guide, has medication information, quizzes, and things like that women are looking for. But one of the features that we found to be very important, particularly for our website and our community, in an effort to really grow a community and sustain it, is to have a number of interactive tools and elements that support the presence of a virtual community. We know that just because you build it they're not necessarily going to be coming to your website. And so you have to think about how can we build this and make it more engaging so that they return to get the dosage that we're looking to give them because this is an intervention. And so on the right, you can see some of the elements that we have on the website that provide a little bit more of that community experience. We have milestone awards where we're able to actually share on our social media platforms when women indicate that they're 1 or 3 months smoke-free. It's really encouraging, and they know that when they come to our resources, they're going to get something else from us aside from just information. Morgan just talked about the Monday campaigns, and we've worked with the Monday team to create the Smoke-Free Monday pledge, where women are making the commitment to be smoke-free, and in exchange, we make a commitment to provide them with support and tips and information. And so that's something that they can do on the website every week. And then a number of social media platforms and pages that really continue to foster that element of support and community that really distinguishes the Smoke-Free Women brand. And so here's just a snapshot of the Facebook page. We're at over 20,000 followers, and it's growing each day. And like I mentioned, the support component is a key element of our social media platforms, both the support that we provide the women on the page as well as the support that women are providing each other. So you can see here two examples of that. This is an example of the milestone award that I previously mentioned. And so, why go into the idea of expanding the cessation content on our site to incorporate healthier lifestyle content? Well, one, we know that women were actually looking for this information. You can see here, I'll just read this Facebook post, but we have one of our users who is saying on the page, this may be a silly question. Has anyone on the site quit smoking and started a diet and working out within the same week? I'm counting down my days to my quit date, and I'm nervous to begin everything all at once. Just don't want to lose momentum and just don't want to gain weight. So it's clear that women are having these concerns, that they're not changing their behaviors in silos, and that we needed to provide an environment and ecosystem that allowed us to cater to all of their needs and all of their concerns as related to their health at once. In addition to this being a concern that women were having in the community, research does show that changing, multiple health behaviors at one time, one, is something that you can sustain, and two, specifically as it relates to cessation, increasing physical activity and adopting healthy eating can actually enhance your cessation outcomes. So for us, it just made sense in terms of the research, but also in really catering to the needs that our women felt very comfortable sharing with us. And thirdly, as it relates to the social determination theory, we wanted to be able to provide an environment that was motivating people to change so that change would be sustained. And so I'm just going to walk you through a couple of elements on the website in the healthier lifestyle content areas. Again, it sort of has that magazine layout. When you look at some of the titles of our articles, it's like that BuzzFeed model where it's 2 ways to do this or 6 ways to do that, and that really gets our audience engaged, and especially on social media when we're sharing, it gets them really interested in what we have to offer them. But it's bite-sized and manageable and very much like how they operate on the web normally. And so you can see these different content areas, food and nutrition, sleep, stress, and relaxation, so things that matter to women and that can have a very significant impact on their ability to sustain their health behavior changes. And so the weight management section, so this is something that we had on our previous website before we did the redesign, but it was limited in the sense that we were acknowledging that women could gain weight after they begun their quit attempt. And it almost trivialized it in a sense. It said that, people typically gain about 10 pounds on average after quitting smoking. New research suggests that it's more like 13 to 15 pounds that they are likely to gain. But two, women don't necessarily want to gain 10 pounds or 15 or even 1 pound. And so for us to sort of mention that that's likely, it was doing a little bit of a disservice to our ability to connect with our women. And so we've updated that content to make it more clear that one, it's possible to gain weight, but we really wanted to provide them with information about, well, what are the key factors that contribute to weight gain and help them address those underlying factors. Really also include information about body image in case that's where their weight gain concerns were rooted in. And then to also provide them with tips and information on how to actually deal with the weight gain aside from the difficulties that they were having or that they might have in their cessation attempt. And so we've really updated the content to better address exactly what the women were looking for. And so you can see, again, some of those different things here. So, you know, how do I know if I'm overweight? Four things that affect your metabolism. Just very relevant content that would benefit the women on the page. So you can see all that here. And I do encourage you guys to visit the website afterwards. And so a theme that we've been hearing on the panel today is, you know, very much that if you build it, will they come? There are scenarios where they won't come, and there are scenarios where you can get them to come. In our case, you can get them to come through promotional campaigns, and that was crucial for us. And so after we redesigned our website, we launched two campaigns back-to-back that with the main intention of sort of reintroducing ourselves, this makeover that we underwent, but then also providing, letting women know that we had this new healthier lifestyle and weight management content that was available to them. The campaigns were similar in the sense that they had a similar ad budget. They actually used 100%, it was all online, paid advertisement. The campaigns ran 4 weeks for the first campaign and then 9 weeks for the second campaign. And the main messaging was around sort of the core messaging on the website, so this healthier lifestyle concept and weight management as relates to cessation. And so the answer to the question, will they come? Yes, they did come. And so you can see very clear here in these two charts, looking at the website traffic over time, so to date on the left side, it's a little bit outdated because it doesn't include current traffic, so you can't see that it actually has sustained, but you can see that it significantly grew when we launched the campaign. So starting in the early part of this year, in the spring of this year, you can see that that spiked significantly. I think we were averaging about 15,000 visits per month prior to the campaign, and during the campaign we saw up to 103,000 visits per month. And then again in the mobile visits, again, you know, the idea that we've created this responsive site, it was important for us to see that our women were actually visiting it on mobile platforms. And through some of the ad placements that we were able to secure that focus on mobile placements, we got to see a huge return on the traffic that was coming from mobile visits. And so this this slide here really just gives you an overview of the campaign results. Again, we had a similar ad spend for both the promotion, the first promotion and the second promotion. Collectively, we saw over 150-ish ad impressions. We saw 230,000, I think, plus website visits. We had a number of clicks, so that's engagements, taking people to the website, but also engaging on the links that we're putting on social media. And then a very low average cost per click at less than a dollar. So we're definitely, in looking at the promotion for Smoke-Free Women, definitely proponents of the online paid advertisements. And then this just gets into some details around what we did for each of the campaigns. So campaign one, I'm not sure if folks are familiar with Outbrain, but that was something that worked very well for us. Outbrain is a tool that you can secure advertisements with, which provides recommendations for other articles that you should read on premium publications on the web. So we were able to secure placements on like CNN and Fox News and a couple others. I'll show you an image of it, and I'm sure you guys see it all the time when it's like, you should also read this. Google search and display are always very effective for us, and you could see that here. Again, a lower cost per click or cost per engagement in the millions of ad impressions, and then pretty strong click-through rates. Something that's actually good in the industry for click-through rate is about 0.1%, and we see that we're well over 0.1% in some of these instances here. And so, like I mentioned, Outbrain, so here's an example where you're looking at premium content on CNN, and then you see, you know, from around the web, other content that you might be interested in, and that has been very successful for us. Outbrain, I think, usually leads to about a 0.25 cents cost per click, so it's like 25 cents cost per click, which is very low, very cost effective. Here's an example of, you know, when we're promoting our resources on the Facebook page, we'll do promoted posts sometimes, and you can see that engagement, 124 people, you know, liking the page and lots of conversation coming from it. You can see when we had some ads on Yahoo, Pandora. So again, really meeting women where they are and providing them with the content that they're looking for. Campaign two, similar tactics. Again, very successful for some of these platforms here that we worked with. Outbrain again, Google search and display. Again, very good cost per clicks. We also incorporated the usage of AT&T AdWorks, which really helped us boost our traffic on the mobile visits. and got to that very good cost per click engagement again. And then just a few more examples from campaign two. Again, being having premium placement on places where women were. So that really helped us increase the likelihood that women were going to be engaging with the content that we were providing them. And so as I wrap up and we think about, you know, the lessons learned from both the redesign of the content, the redesign of the website, the addition of the new content, and the expansion of some of the existing content, if you build it and promote it, I think the promotional piece is crucial. Not to say that you can't get that following or get your audience to access your information over time. You know, Morgan's done a good job talking about how earned media is also a very useful tool in getting people to access your information. But in our situation, paid promotions really helped us a ton in getting that content out there. And for the last two bullets, it's not only about promoting it, but it's about meeting women where they are and providing women with what they're looking for, at least your audience, because I think this model could apply to a number of other conditions and a number of audiences. But really understanding the lifestyle of your audience, the taking a more holistic approach and not just focusing, for us, exclusively on smoking cessation, because that doesn't happen in a vacuum. We have full lives to live, and for us to neglect some of the stressors or some of the risk factors that make women smoke or make them, you know, less successful in their cessation attempts, we would be remiss to do that. And so I think what we've seen in just redesigning the website and some of the traffic following the promotions is that that's exactly what they were looking for, and it was great for us to be able to provide it. And now, you know, that leaves us with, well, does it actually translate to real-world success, which is smoking, you know, cessation outcomes? Are our women quitting, and are they having sustained quit attempts? And so we did an evaluation with the University of Wisconsin, and some preliminary data shows us that web-based interventions are successful and do help people quit smoking. And I imagine that we'll do some additional ones in the future, specifically as it relates to the women.smokefree.gov website. So I don't have an acknowledgement slide, but I do want to acknowledge a very large team that works on the women.smokefree.gov program. And if you have any questions, several of us are around. Thank you.